Sometimes I don't want to hear what God wants to talk to me about. And then it's like, okay, God, how do you want me to apply this to my life? So as we've been going through this material the last 2 months, we may not all obviously all be in the same place when it comes to how we manage our time. But like we talked about, when we stand before the Lord and we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, it has everything to do with how we spent our time, how we invested our time or how we wasted our time, just like money. So I believe if you've been with us, even for one class, there is something that God wants to talk to you about when it comes to the way that you live your life and the time that God's given you. And so we're going to wrap some things up today as far as the principles of what we've been looking at and the strategies. But just something to consider, God does want us to live 2018 for his glory and the good of other people. It has so much to do with the way that we work out our time. Okay? I'm going to open in prayer and then we're going to get into the information. All right? Let's pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, it's a joy to be with your church this morning. It's an honor to teach your word. And God, we want to hear from your spirit this morning as we review some of these time management principles. Lord, as we look to your word at some verses this morning in regard to just reflecting on that which you've given us, I pray, Lord, for each person here that they would honestly take a look at their own life. And as we approach 2018, God, I pray that we would reflectively look at 2017. If there needs to be some adjusting as far as some of those priority relationships that we've talked about, I pray, Lord, that we would be living in submission to the way that you're leading us. And I pray as a church, Lord, that you would allow us to continue to sharpen one another as we meet together in different ways and build our own relationships. But God, I pray also for those unbelievers that you have in our lives, just the natural rhythm of our lives, the spheres that you have them in, that we would consider not only to pray for them specifically, but Lord, that you would lead and guide us to know how to wisely invest our time even with them, and just being prayerful and mindful through our conversation and through the way that we live, that the gospel would be evident for them to consider. So we pray that you bless our time. We pray that you bless our interaction with one another. And may we be an encouragement to one another. And may we honor your name by the way that we think through this information. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So for some of you who maybe haven't been with us, we are looking at a Bible study that was put together by my friend Bill Allison. He's the executive director of a ministry called Cadre Ministries. It's out in Illinois. And the ministry that we're starting, called the E3 Connection, we are collaborating our ministry. He is an equipping ministry. One of the things we want to do is we want to go into churches and leadership teams, and we want to equip them. So we are actually able to use this information for free. Usually they charge, believe it or not. But it's called Time Management for Painfully Pooped Out People. Now, you may not be feeling painfully pooped out. That's okay. This information is actually for everyone to consider what we talk about. All right, next slide. We're going to go over some of the things that we've been talking about. So maybe you can't read it up there, but can somebody tell me what was the first strategy? Prioritize. Prioritize. And this is what you're to prioritize. Number one, that first time management principle is this: to ponder the brevity of life often. And number two, to prioritize the relationships of Jesus. Can someone remind us of what those relationships are? Okay, God. Key believers?
Where?
Unbelievers and non-believers. Okay. Yeah, when we talk about investing our time or spending our time, when you look at Jesus, he really invested his time in people. And he started his time off in the day with his relationship with the Father. And then he spent time with key believers, you might say the disciples. And he also spent time with unbelievers. And when it comes to the way that we live our lives, it should be focused on relational development and building on those three relationships. And so to prioritize those things into our schedule. And like I said to you before, sorry, Bonnie, I didn't give you one before, did I? Okay, sorry. Like I said before, when we look at our schedule, to think in a way to ask God, God, how do you want me to spend my week? God, how do you want me to spend my month or my year? And I said this to you at the outset when we first started this series. I don't know how many times I've actually gone to God and asked him, how do you want me to invest? Or how do you want me to spend my time? Usually I just kind of fill my schedule. And then what do? Just ask God to bless it, right? I don't know if you do that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, just bless it, right? And I figure if it's not anything that, you know, it's not unbiblical, then it's fine. But oftentimes I haven't always gone to God about that. But to look at our schedule and to say, Lord, out of those three relationships, I need to spend time with you every day. And looking at my schedule, what key believers do you have in my life that maybe you want me to develop more of a relationship with as iron sharpens iron, that we can encourage each other in our faith, we can build each other up, we can maybe be under God's word together as we get together, we can pray together, those kinds of things, to implement those kind of relationships in our lives. Sometimes that's your spouse or your children, but it can be other key believers that God has in your life. And then thinking through unbelievers in your life. And so that's very important too. Whether that's a coworker, whether that's a neighbor, whether that's somebody that you maybe play racquetball with or pickleball with, depending on your choice of sport, golf. But to think through, can I start spending time with this person around my activities? Some of you ladies do crafts or whatever it is. But I want to specifically start praying for their salvation. I'm going to pray for them by name. And I want to get together with them weekly, you know, a couple times a month, whatever it is. And whether we talk about God or not, God has called me, because they're in my life, to love them, to serve them. And whether they accept Jesus or not is not up to me. I'm going to be Jesus to them regardless if they accept him or not. And sometimes, as we said before, sometimes I have known people who have started a relationship and their intention is this. I want them to know Christ. And the moment they feel like in the relationship they're really not interested in knowing Christ, the Christian peels off and out of the relationship and kind of gives up on them. And my question to you is, how Christ-like is that? I struggle with that. And you know why I struggle with it? Because I'm guilty of it. When I was serving as a pastor, there would be people I'd be investing it into, and there would be times in the relationship with this unbeliever, I'd feel like, you know what? There's just really no hope here. And so I'm going to go focus on some other unbelievers. I'm just going to kind of peel out. And so I'm kind of guilty. And then they call you up or they contact you and go, you know, where have you been? And, well, just, you know, life happens, right? How honest that was, but that was my response, all right? So we want to prioritize those things. All right, strategy number two is to plan, to proactively schedule biblical priorities, those relationships, into our lives and to plan your ideal day. Now, let's just raise our hand. How often does your ideal day happen? I didn't see one hand go up. No, okay, half hand went up, all right? So it doesn't normally, but we have to be able to shoot for something. All right, and then here's strategy number three. It's this. It's protect. I know you can't read it. Sorry for the red. It's to protect that which we prioritize around those relationships. How do you do that? Well, you say no to time wasters. There are things in our lives that just absolutely kind of waste time. We kind of got into last time I taught this, kind of a deep discussion about that, because some people, you know, they guard those things because it's a way for them to kind of have me time. I say me time's good, but we time can be better, okay? And so we need me time, but we also need we time. Number two, say no to good things. We looked at Jesus and how he had lots of opportunities to minister to lots of different people who followed him around. And sometimes he would go away from them and he'd go spend time with the Lord or with God, the Father, or he'd go spend time with the disciples. But sometimes even Jesus didn't go to every single ministry opportunity that was presented to him. And so sometimes in life we need to say no to even good things. Number seven is maximize those non-productive windows of time. And number eight, understand our season of life. And this is one thing I do understand, you guys. I'm not in the season of life where some of you are at. And I recognize that much of this body right here at River Valley Bible Church, there's a lot of retirees. And so we talked a little bit about the American mindset. We move toward retirement, but once we get there, we need to ask ourselves, we need to ask the Lord, God, how do you want me to spend however remaining days that I have? And to really be honest with God about that. How do you want me to spend my time? How do you want me to invest my time? And so I think it's a good approach. All right, let's go to number nine in your notes. Seek a biblical approach to recreation Why would that be important? Now you're talking about playtime?
A lot of things can get you in trouble.
A lot of things can... You're talking about recreation?
Yeah.
Well... I wasn't thinking along those lines, but, you know...
They are not...
Yeah. No. That's true. You know, we do live near Vegas, I guess, you know? I mean, you could get yourself into trouble. But here's... Why would that be important, though, to have more of a balance? I mean... Recreation. What do you think we mean by recreation? What do you think that means?
Playtime.
Okay.
And unfortunately, in the era of computers, playtime becomes too much.
Too much. Okay.
They don't get off the games and the computers.
Okay. That's true. When we talk about kind of a balance, why would you think recreation would be something that would be necessary for balance?
Because you need to relieve stress.
Relieve stress? Okay.
Well, recreation is a fun game, isn't it?
It should be.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been golfing before, and I haven't had much fun.
It depends on your record choice, yeah.
It's also usually a great time to be able to connect with
especially,
particularly non-believers, because it is a non-threatening environment. Mm-hmm. Personal way, like you said, you don't even necessarily have to be talking about God and the Word, but just living it out in a way that they can see that, hey, being a Christian is not about being thumped with the Ten Commandments constantly. They can have fun and enjoy life, but they're doing it in a way that is still honoring God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else? Why do you think this would be necessary as far as thinking through, remember, this is part of protecting. You're protecting your priorities, and the principle is seek a biblical approach to recreation, a biblical approach. So the pendulum can go too far one way, and the pendulum can go too far the other way. What two ways do you think that pendulum can swing where you're just totally out of balance?
All work and no play.
Okay, all work, no play.
Yeah.
Okay, and then?
Workaholic or somebody who just blows everything off and is only thinking about themselves.
Okay. All work, no play. All play, no work. Maybe those are the two ones. I'm not exactly sure. When it comes to the Christian life, we want to be as balanced as we can in all areas. But I think when it comes to protecting, hit the next one, Dave. Sorry. Here's the thought. We must intentionally, proactively seek to live a biblically balanced life. Next one. Ecclesiastes. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. We want to think relationally is what we want to do right here. We want to protect those priority relationships. Would you agree with me, and I think this is biblical, by the way, that laughter is what? What's the...
Good for the soul.
It's good for the soul. It's good medicine. It's things like that, right? It's amazing what those kinds of things can do for relationships. Because sometimes relationships, it can be pretty intense. Life can be pretty intense. There's a lot of intense things that happen. And sometimes when you enter into relationships, people, when they're really open to the Lord, I think, and they're an unbeliever, oftentimes it can come at a very low time in their life because they're humble, they're open to hearing what maybe there is a God after all, even though I'm struggling right now, but I'm open to hearing some things. And sometimes it's tragedy that bring people in to their time of the Lord. When you hear all these stories of when people came to Christ, it's through tragedy oftentimes. And when we're developing those relationships, I think what's really, really important for people to see and experience is that our approach is to include these things. You realize that some people look at Christians, and this isn't the tag on everyone, but some people look at Christians as only people who keep a bunch of rules and make sure that everybody else is keeping those same rules. And I got to tell you, those people, when you think of those people, laughter isn't one of the key elements that rises to the top when I think of those kinds of people. Having a good time. I had a fifth grade teacher. His name was Mr. McLeod. And I had been going to Rincon Valley Christian School my whole life. Do you remember Mr. McLeod? I'm going to ask my sister. She doesn't know this is happening until right now. What would be a good way to describe Mr. McLeod in your eyes? Because I can think of some good adjectives right now. But what do you think? When you think of Mr. McLeod, was he a super fun teacher? Stern. Okay, that's a good word. I like that word. What's another word that you might use for Mr. McCloud?
I just know all the kids
were afraid of him. Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Yeah. Okay, so here's my history of my class time. Rincon Valley Christian School, pre-kindergarten to fifth grade. After Mr. McCloud, sixth grade, public school system, I'd rather be in there for the rest of my life than deal with Mr. McCloud. Mr. McCloud never laughed. I don't remember one time having a good time. Everything was to the book. You got in trouble for anything. I remember that. And he scared me every single day. He scared me. And my version of the Christian life encompassed my fifth grade year with my teacher, because that's who I looked up to.
Right.
And what it caused me to do was to run. And I'm surprised that my mom actually, she allowed me to make that decision. I want to go to public school. I want nothing to do with Christian school anymore. For some reason, she let me do it, which was great. I got myself into trouble after that a little bit more, but that's what happened. So balance is really a big deal. So go to the next slide. When is the last time that you, go ahead, enjoyed a movie or exercised? Go ahead. Took a walk, slept in? I've got five little kids staying in my house right now. We don't sleep in right now anymore. That's okay. Read a book, went out to eat at a slow food restaurant. Hold on real quick. I want to address this right now. Here is something that I've heard from you guys, and I agree with you, by the way. And that is, nowadays you go out, and if you watch a family with children, what happens around the table while they're waiting for their food? Let's just remind all of us of what you say. What happens? Okay, everybody's going like this. All right, right? So we have seven. Let's say we're all seven around, and we're all just on our phones the whole time. We eat, and then we leave, and we don't ever say hi to one another. Okay, that does happen at times. But here's the thing I've also noticed, and I've noticed this in Mesquite, Nevada. When we go out, we'll see a retiree kind of a couple, an older couple. They will sit down, and literally the entire time, they don't say one word to each other the entire time. And guess what? They're not on their phones. They're not on their phones. And then they leave together and they don't talk as well. And here's the thing I want you to understand is these are missing out on moments for relational development, whether it's your spouse, a friend, or whatever. Here's the point I think God wants us to understand is we need to be engaging of one another. And we need to be proactive and intentional about engaging other people that are in the natural rhythm of our life. God has them in our lives for a reason. Oftentimes we walk around in life and we're not seeing or listening to what God wants us to see. So how about this? When I leave the house, Lord, I'm going to go to Walmart and get some groceries. I'm going to go to the post office and do that. And then I'm going to go over and I don't know what else I could do in town, but go through a few things. Help me, give me the eyes to see that you want me to see, the people that you want me to see. So I was in Smith's the other day. And I had a great conversation with the lady that was giving, she was cutting, slicing up my ham and my turkey. Her son is in the Air Force. My son is in the Air Force in Korea right now, serving. And her son had served in Korea. And so we just started talking. And so she said, "Do you live in town?" I said, "Yes." And she just moved here a few months ago. And so she said, "Well, next time I see you here, let's pick up the conversation on the Air Force." And I said, "Sure." So I don't remember her name, but I know exactly what she looks like. And the next time I'm in there, I'm looking for her. You know why? God, just in the natural rhythm of my life, put her in my life. And then we have this amazing conversation for about 5 minutes about the Air Force. She felt that connection. I thought, man, Lord, I don't know where she's at spiritually, but I'm going to start praying for her. And I've been praying for her since last week. And this is very unusual. I'm actually excited to go to the deli counter right now to go get some more, you know, meat. So kids, just eat up all the ham and turkey, all right? Some other kids, just go through it. But here's the thing. When we talk about spending our time, God wants us to invest our time in people. And it starts with God, and then there's an outflow from there. All right, keep going. When was the last time you went on a date with your spouse or went on a date with your kids or grandkids? Okay? Next. Had a meaningful conversation with your neighbor. Served someone with a genuine need. And then through conversation, build on that. Enjoy the nature of God around you. You know, I tell people that I live in the desert. I don't think they think that God created this place. I get a lot of weird comments, you know what I mean? But there's incredible nature around here. How about playing with your kids or grandkids? I mean, what are some things that you guys can think of about how you can develop relationships and yet balance that with some kind of recreation where you allow for playtime, but also what I would consider laugh time too? Anybody have some other suggestions? Building those relationships. Comments? Yes?
I spend time in the nursing home working puzzles with people.
Awesome.
Because it's a great time to communicate.
Awesome. Yeah, Craig?
Having neighbors over for dinner.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. The Russells. We've been watching their kids, Brian and Jessica Russell. They were here a while ago talking about their ministry, and he's talking about how he needs to have barbecues before Bible studies. I just need to invest my time in these people where trust is built, where we build a true friendship. And as God leads, if it comes to it, we want to implement Bible studies. But sometimes the approach is, he's a missionary church planner. You come in and you just immediately start Bible studies. For a lot of people, that scares them. And so start off with the barbecues and then move toward Bible studies as God opens those doors. And I really like that. That's a good way. That's a good way to do it. It's a good balance there. All right. Here's the last principle. Live the reflective life. Why is that important when it comes to protecting your time? To live reflectively. Good questions. Very good. Somebody else.
Are you also saying that your life should reflect Jesus to other people?
I think that's good too. I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, it should reflect Jesus, and we should live life reflectively, just thinking through. We must intentionally and proactively reflect on whether or not we are, it says investing, for those of you who can't see it, investing our limited time on our priorities on a daily basis. The key word to me is investing. And I think we could do this daily or weekly or monthly or however you want to implement it in your own life. But to think through those relationships, I mean, I do this with my relationship with God. How I've been convicted is in my relationship with my wife and kids. And I think I told you this before, I'm trying to be a lot more intentional with unbelievers in my life. Sometimes, we talked about this a few weeks ago, in the church, I'm just as guilty. We get into our holy huddles sometimes, and we just forget. We just live our life, and we're actively involved in our church, and we're actively involved with our Christian friends, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. But sometimes, if you were to start living reflectively and look back, you might find, man, in the last year, I really haven't developed any relationships with unbelievers. And that may be an area that God's talking with you about. How can you think and pray toward developing those kinds of relationships? I don't know what it is for you, but it might be along those lines. All right, next thing, Dave. This is a very interesting verse. Haggai 1, 5 through 7 says this. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. So, this sounds kind of weird, but to actually thinking about on a regular basis how you are wasting, spending, or investing your time. To do that. And so one of the things I'm trying to do is Sunday is considered kind of the beginning of the week. I'm trying to use Sunday afternoons and evenings, even with my wife, as we try to have date nights on Sunday nights, to kind of look back at our week, see where we've kind of gone, and then look forward to the upcoming week or weeks or months and see where we want to go, and to include God in that, to talk about it, to pray about it, and to consider it. Because I don't know about you, but I've heard this for the last 20 years. You're going to blink and your kids are going to be out of your house. And you told me that 15 years ago with all the madness in my house going on. I said, yeah, right. It's like I can't even get through a day and it seems like 100 years is a day, right? Now, my youngest is 16. My oldest is 21. Most of them are out of the house now. And I'm like, what has happened to the last 10 years? Now I'm clipping off decades, right? You guys are like, decades? I'm clipping off 25, man. It's just crazy. So it happens. But to live reflectively is so very important. I have a couple of videos, and I know one of them works. I'm doubting the second one's going to work, but we'll get really lucky here. Dave, I think that next one is that video. It is. Let's watch this and consider this.
A thousand marbles.
Yeah.
They're losing their marbles? I think Dave needs help.
Maybe I don't have two videos. Not working, Dave?
Got nothing.
Got nothing. Nothing like failing. All right. Well, let me explain this to you then. The thousand marbles represents essentially a thousand Saturdays. And it's a young dad with kids, and the conversation goes like this. He's got about a thousand weekends to spend with his kids before they're out of the house. And so he fills this jar with marbles, and every Saturday he takes a marble out and he throws it away. And as that jar gets lower and lower, it represents how much time left he has with his children to pour into them before they leave his house. And it's approximately around, I think it's, 18, 20 years, somewhere in that zone, something like that. And he talks about what this, it's about a 3-minute clip. He's going to work and he's super busy with life. And he's still clipping out those marbles. And as that thing is getting lower and lower, he's realizing, wait a second, you know what? Work's important, but my kids are way more important. And maybe I need to devote myself to really, giving my life to them. Because I could totally give all of my life to work and then miss out on them. And it's just a way to help us think through priority. And if relationships are the priority, then that's good. The second clip, which I know you're not going to be able to pull up, so I'm not worried about that one, is a man of about 55.
Youngster.
Yeah. And he has a thousand marbles that's supposed to represent, essentially on average, how much time he has left on earth. And he takes out a marble every Saturday. And it's really, really fascinating to even hear his voice because he becomes pretty emotionally involved in this illustration. And to ask himself, you know what, how am I living my life? Am I truly living my life for God? Am I truly being invested in the things that he wants me to be invested in? And for all of us here, no matter your season of life, remember one of those principles is to consider your season of life. We only have so much time here on earth, and that's what we're going to give account for. If God's given us the breath of life now, the question is, how am I living my life for the glory of God and the good of other people? Notice, things aren't a part of that at all. Okay, Dave found it on YouTube. Thanks, Dave. This is wonderful. Okay.
Is there any sound?
Yeah, push the computer button.
Yep.
Volume up.
I didn't even pay for this one. I paid for the other one. I can't pull that. That's a bummer.
Yeah, well, Tom, it sounds like you're busy with your job. I'm sure they pay you well, but it's a shame you have to be away from...
your home and your family so much. It's hard to believe that a young fellow should have to work 60 or 70 hours a week just to make ends meet.
Oh, and it's too bad that you missed your daughter's dance recital, too.
You know, it took me until I was 55 years old to think about all of this in any detail. And by that time, I had lived through over 2,800 Saturdays. And I got to thinking, and if I lived to be 75...
I had only about 1,000 Saturdays left to enjoy. So I went to a
toy store, and I bought every marble they had. My kids, I had to visit
3 toy stores to get 1,000 marbles. I took them home,
and I put them inside a large, clear plastic container. Right here in the shack, next to my gear. And every Saturday since then, I have taken out one marble and thrown it away.
And I found, by watching the marbles diminish, I focused more on the really important things in life. You know, there's nothing like watching your time here on this earth run out to help you get your priorities straight. Now, let me tell you one last thing before I sign off with you and take my lovely wife out for breakfast. This morning,
I took the very last marble out of the container. I figure if I make it till next Saturday, then I've been given a little extra time.
And the one thing we can all use is just a little more time. Well, it was nice to meet you, Tom. And I hope you can spend more time with your family. And I hope to meet you again along the band. Oh, this is the old man on K9NZQ, clear and going QRT.
Come on, honey. I'm taking you and the kids out for breakfast.
Well, what about this one?
Nothing special.
You know, it has been a while since we spent a Saturday with the kids.
Let's go by the toy store and let the kids pick something out. I want to get some marbles while we're there.
He's lost his rocks.
Hey, thanks for finding that. It's good.
It was on a ham radio, that's what that was.
Is that a ham radio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was signing off. So he was speaking then.
Okay, I had no idea what that was. I was completely lost.
Must have had his work day.
I have no idea. All right, next slide, Dave. Thank you so much for pulling that up. Anybody have any comments about that? Going on. So a question for you is, how will you start planning your upcoming Saturdays? Notice this calendar planner says 2018. And like I said, God has all of us here for a reason. If we have breath, then I believe that God wants us to invest our time in people. That's who Jesus invested his time in, his relationship with the Father and with a few key believers and also with unbelievers. And I think we need to do the same. We talk about evangelism. You know, we even have, like, sometimes in churches they have workshops about how to go out and share your faith and do this. I want to tell you something. You can share your faith by just being prayerfully, proactively intentional about hanging out with unbelievers and just praying for the opportunity to say something. Or if nothing ever comes up naturally, just living the gospel before them. God can use your life. And so you don't have to have theological training to do this. You can just love God and love people. It's not even a complicated system. But the more that you love God and know who God is, the more God, I think, fills you. And the more that people can see God in your life, and it can just be this natural flow. So I'm not asking everyone to go out to the local toy store and buy 1,000 marbles, okay? But what I do want you to get from this is to understand that all of us, I mean, I may be taken home this week. I don't know. But how do I want to spend my time for the glory of God and other people? So how are you going to start, just as far as that example goes, start planning those upcoming Saturdays? Okay, next thought there, Dave, please. If your heart has been captured by the dream of living your short life for the greatest possible glory for God, you are going to need a healthy dose of persistence when it comes to managing your time well. Why would that be true, that you have to have persistence?
Too much distractions.
Distractions, okay.
Well, you just said life, no one has an ideal day, and there's always something that's going to interrupt it. And if you don't have the discipline to get back on track, doesn't mean you can't alter it, but if you can't get back on track, you're going to go off the track.
Right. So I don't know how many of you guys every year have resolutions. There are some people who do it every year. I love those people. They inspire me because a lot of times, you know, they some of them really stick it out. But a lot of people don't stick it out. And so they say, this year is the year that I'm really going to stick this resolution out. I would dare say that for all of us, if we've been moved in any way to reflectively go through how we're investing our time, to really consider this, Lord, help me to be persistent in this. If I feel that you are working in my heart to make some changes, then I would be persistent in this. All right, next thing, Dave. So, I don't know how many days we got left. What's the day? 17th? We've got 2 weeks. Man, you guys got lots of time to start planning. Lots of time to start planning and thinking about that. All right, next thing. Stanford University research indicates that 85% of people who attend a training workshop have a difficult time implementing what they learned unless they leave with resources in their hands. Now, you guys have been given notes, but here's what I want you to really realize. Whether it's on your phone or not, you have this resource right here. This is the resource to have. I mean, we should build all of our lives on the Bible. And Jesus is a great example of building relationships and what that looks like. So my encouragement to you would be to study the Word of God in the way that Jesus himself invested his time. I mean, you may doubt me. Maybe he didn't. Maybe you think, did he spend time with God the Father? Go check it out. Did he spend time with key believers? Go check it out. Did he spend time with people who didn't believe that he was the Son of God? Go check it out. And pray about it and study it and look at it and say, okay, how does that challenge me? How do I want to live my, if I'm going to follow Jesus, then I want to follow him in the way that he even managed his time. And remember, he doesn't operate by time. So, I mean, Jesus came here, obviously, God with us, but very fascinating as the Creator God. All right, next one. So just to be smart about your goals, really quickly, just kick them out real quick, Dave. Here's when we talk about goals as far as your time. Make sure that they're specific. Make sure they're measurable. Why would we say that? Why is measurable important?
I don't know when you get there.
Okay. True enough. Anybody else?
Just to see progress.
See progress, right? I'm one of those guys, I don't know about you, but sometimes I shoot like way far ahead. So like if I'm going to really start running, let's say, I'll say, okay, you know, January 1, I'm going to start running 20 miles a day. And then 2 miles in, I'm like, wow, I give up. I'm not going to hit 20 miles a day. It's not that progressive for me. And so a lot of times when I say measurable, make sure it's something that is attainable. Okay? Attainable. All right? Relevant. Meaning it obviously you don't want to just apply something that isn't relevant to your own life. All may not be relevant for your life. And then trackable, of course. That's a smart way of doing it. So as far as that, just to think reflectively, to think balanced, those are really good things to do as far as protecting those key relationships. All right, Dave. So in review, just to think through, what is God speaking to you about when you think about balance, when you think about being reflective? What are you going to do about it? And here's something, go to that next question. I want to just, who might you take this adventure with you? Meaning this. When God speaks to our hearts, part of discipleship is going to people and actually sharing with them what God is doing in your life and to pour into them. God's pouring into you something or you learn something. It's good to turn around and go share that with someone, whether that's your spouse or your kids or a good friend or a neighbor or your golf buddy or whatever it is, to find someone to be talking that out with, to be just looking at different angles with, just kind of a simple way, simple form of discipleship, and it's also a very natural way to build relationships as well. Any final comments? Because we got to kind of wrap it up here in a couple of minutes. But anything anybody want to say? Thought provoking and good. Praise the Lord. That's good. I'm glad I'm the only one that's been. I've been heavily convicted about some things, you guys. I've had to implement change already. I'm not waiting for 2018. I'm already trying to start some of this stuff. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray, and then you guys can be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for your grace. And God, I thank you and praise you that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And God, sometimes it's hard to determine and decipher what that is. But God, I pray for every person here that we would continue to go to your word about that. And Lord, I pray that we would be people that would live a more balanced life. And God, maybe there's some things in our lives that are wasting our time. Or maybe there's some good things, Lord, that they may be good things to do, but maybe they're not the exact things that you want us to do in this season of life. And I pray that you would give great discernment to every person here to understand the plan that you have for them. But Lord, for us to consider those priority relationships, that we would spend time with you daily. Lord, that we would make time to spend that time or to invest that time in other believers around us. And God, help us to think through the unbelievers that you have in the natural rhythm of our life to be praying for specifically. Lord, to be praying toward how we can build on that relationship. And Lord, that you would help us to love and serve them, no matter if they accept you or not, Lord, but to be Jesus to them with your help. And so bless, Lord, this body as we consider those things in this church and in this community. We pray that we would do it for your glory and the good of others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys.